Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to continue with our class, Ministry in the Appearing of Christ. And in our last class, we touched on inward obedience. And we looked at the passage with Saul, of course, where he failed in everything that he did. Everything he did outwardly was in disobedience. All the actions that he did were all in disobedience because he had not fulfilled inward obedience. We also saw that with the same situation of the children of Israel. When they were in type and resurrection, they were supposed to go into the land. They were supposed to, at that point in time, be a testimony of Christ, of what Christ does, would do, and does do now because of the cross. At that point, they rebelled, and then they said, no, we will go up to take the land. And Moses says, no, don't go up, the Lord's not with you. And here's the passage right here, it's in Numbers 14, 39 through 45, and verse 43. This was the reason the Lord was not with them. This was the reason that they could not outwardly fulfill that which the Lord desired. Here's the reason. Because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you. The reason? Because you are turned away from the Lord. And we saw that being Exodus 20, 18 through 21. The people saw the thunderings, the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet. They saw all this. They saw, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice. And they removed themselves and stood afar off. They did not continue in purpose. Their hearts did not continue turned unto the Lord. So that's the reason why they could not fulfill outward obedience, because inward obedience was not fulfilled. All right, so we're going to continue with that. The inward obedience of the heart. And I wanted to look at, again, that passage in 1 Samuel 15, chapter 15, verse 22, where Samuel is speaking to Saul and basically says this. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And I just kind of looked at that term, obeying and obey. It's the same exact Hebrew term. I'm not sure if we looked at the original terms in the previous classes or not, but I went ahead and looked at it. And in the Strong's Hebrew lexicon, all right, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying. I've got a note here that I want to take a look at. Yeah. As in obeying. Right there, Samuel was specifically dealing with the obedience of the heart. Obeying the voice of the Lord with the heart. It's the inward obedience, not the outward, but the inward, the exact same obedience that the children of Israel did not fulfill, that we looked at in Numbers 14, verse 43, because you are turned away from the Lord. You are turned away from the Lord. Well, even with the children of Israel during that time, when Moses was speaking to them, they were in type and resurrection. They were here in type. They were in resurrection. It's a type, but they were in resurrection. And yet Moses says, but because you are turned away from the Lord unto whatever, it doesn't matter. Okay? It was something of the heart. You are turned away from the Lord. The same exact dealing with Saul. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? The obeying is the exact same obeying obedience. It's Strong's number 80, 85, and here it is with a Strong's Hebrew lexicon. A primitive root to hear intelligently, often with implication of attention, obedience, etc. So wrapped up in this one Hebrew term is not only hearing the voice of the Lord, but hearing unto obedience. It's not just hearing, because many people hear many things. Okay, let me look. Yeah, it's a little. I've got a little further down, but I'll probably repeat this again. There were several times when that the Lord spoke to someone and others around heard nothing. There were some times when the Lord spoke to someone and others said it thundered, or an angel spoke. It's always hearing, often with the implication of attention, obedience. It's hearing in obedience, hearing unto obedience. It's not just in this one term, it's not just hearing and hearing anything. No, no, no. It's specifically hearing with obedience. And it's not the hearing of the natural ear, because the natural face can turn. It's not the natural face. It's the face of the heart. It's the face of the soul. When the ear, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. When Jesus said that, everyone that was present there at that time had natural ears. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Ears unto obedience. The turning of the heart. Okay? So it goes on. It's translated into the English as discern, give ear, hear, hearken, and then here's a good word too, understand. All right? The Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew lexicon for the phrase as in obeying or to obey, Strong's number 8085, says this right here: to hear, to listen, obey. It's the call, the QAL stem. And it says this also in one of the definitions: to hear, have power to hear. To hear, have power to hear, have power of hearing. One of the things Jesus also said was, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. If God does not give, you do not have. Period. It is all up to the Lord. It is nothing of ours, that no flesh should glory in His presence. What do you have that has not already been given unto you? If you're not born again, you have nothing. If you are born again, you have all that you will ever receive. All has been given unto you in the person of Christ Himself. If God does not give, you do not have. To hear, have power to hear. Now I was thinking, the verse. It's 1 Corinthians 1:30, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You can go on, our hearing, our everything, our seeing, our everything, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I know that the context right here is basically that God hath chosen the foolish things. He chose that which is nothing, so He can be all that. How do I want to say this? So He can be. I don't want to say it that way. So He can be the everything of it. So He can be the all of it. Okay? Excuse me. To hear, have power to hear. Okay, then it goes on. Yield to. To obey, be obedient. Yield to. One of our main passages in this class is Acts chapter 26, verse 16, where the Lord appears unto Saul, and he is born again, and now he is Paul. But before that, the Lord says, Saul, Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The Lord had been dealing with his heart for a while. And Saul was continuing to resist. And then finally, the Spirit of the Lord does something, works in his heart, and he turns, the Lord appears. Okay? To yield to. Not only hearing, but hearing unto obedience, hearing and yielding to. Yielding to the work of the Spirit. Yielding to the Lord dealing with our hearts for one purpose, that they would turn with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I often say this, and this is true. You can write this down, write it, put it on your notebook, write it on your Bible. All is as it should be when the heart is turned unto the Lord and beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Yielding to the dealing of the Holy Spirit. Yielding, listen to this, to the appearing of the Lord. Yielding to the appearing of the Lord. Being obedient, as Paul was, unto the heavenly vision. Being obedient unto the voice, as John, I heard the voice and turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw. Okay? Another dictionary that I looked at, it was a Spanish dictionary, actually. It's the Hebrew Bible Dictionary. Chavez is the guy who wrote it. And I didn't search this out all that much in my English lexicons or dictionaries, but I did see this in the Spanish one. And this is what it says concerning this term, Strong's number 8085. Heart that listens. Mind that understands. The heart that listens. Don't you love that? It is inward, interior, not something from without, from the outside, not some action of the outside. No, but a response on the inside. And I say that a response because the Lord speaks. There must be a response on the inside. There must be an, listen, inward obedience of the heart. It says it right there. Heart that listens. And see, even during these classes or during our services or, well, when anyone is preaching, teaching, or giving a sermon or anything, they're using their natural mouth, declaring with natural words. If the Spirit of the Lord is not speaking into their heart, to the hearer's heart or the hearer's soul, then there is no listening of what is being said at all. Even if you understand naturally and agree naturally, yes, I totally agree with brother or sister so-and-so in what they said, or pastor so-and-so in what he said. If there is no inward listening of the heart, if there is no inward obedience of the heart, then they've not heard the Spirit of the Lord. And it is not unto obedience, unto the turning of the heart, to the beholding of the face of Christ. It has come short of what? Of the glory of God found exclusively in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, so I love this. The Hebrew Bible Dictionary, Chavez. Heart that listens. It goes on. Mind that understands. And I went ahead. It has a scripture passage also as a reference. And I'd like us to read that one. It's 1 Kings chapter 3, and it has to do with King Solomon. And the verse that he references is 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, but I want to go ahead and start with verse 3. And I'll mark it right here. So 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. Listen to this. And Solomon loved the Lord. And Solomon loved the Lord. I know Solomon is a type of the risen Christ. I know that. I know that David is a type of the suffering servant. I know that. They were to be types of Christ all throughout the Old Testament scriptures. It's the appearing of Christ, the declaring of Christ, the testimony of Christ. But Solomon was also a natural man, just like everyone else. And Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon was in type here in resurrection. And guess what? He loved the Lord. He was part of the people of God. He loved the Lord. David, his father, David loved the Lord. The Lord, my God. There was one place, and I think I may have shared this our last class, where David says this, "One have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." David loved the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord. Saul would say to Samuel, "The Lord, thy God." He's not my God. He's your God. Kind of like the children of Israel at that point. Moses, you go, and we will stay afar. We will remain afar. You go, Moses, and just tell us what to do. Okay? Totally different. Totally different what? Different heart. Not totally different actions. No, because the actions will fool you. If you look with a natural eye, it's an unjust judgment, an unrighteous judgment, because you judge after the flesh with a natural eye. Jesus said, "After the flesh, I judge no man." All right? And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father, walking in the same path as his dad, who loved the Lord. Okay? Only he sacrificed on and burnt incense in the high places. There you go. There's something outward where he obviously is screwing up. But nevertheless, Solomon loved the Lord. Okay? Verse 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer up on that altar, upon that altar. Verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon. Don't you love that? Listen to this. Listen to the order. Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon's affection was the Lord. And guess what? The Lord appeared to Solomon. That's the order. When the heart, nevertheless, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse, I'm not sure where exactly it is, maybe 10, 15, 16, 17, somewhere in the teens. Nevertheless, every Sabbath, the Old Testament, Moses is read, and there's a veil that remains over the heart. Nevertheless, when the heart, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be removed. And with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are changed from glory to glory. And then Paul goes on to say, as God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, so hath He shined where? In our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The heart turns to the Lord. And Solomon loved the Lord. Verse 3, going down to verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon. I love this. In a dream by night, and God said, "What? Ask what I shall give thee." That's like the million-dollar question. What do you want? What do you want? I'm thinking of two people that had the same type of either question or answer. One of them was, let me write this down before I forget. I'll write it down real quick. There we go. Hopefully I won't forget by making that note. All right. Here's the one thing. A little earlier in the books. think it had to be Exodus. Here's Moses. Asks one question to the Lord. Has one desire. Asks the Lord one thing. He says this: let me see your glory. That's it. That's all I want. Just let me see your glory. We know that the glory of God is found exclusively in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let me see your glory. What does the Lord say? At that time, during that time, here we go. At that time, pre-cross, pre-crucifixion, before Jesus came in the flesh, no man can see my face and live. No man can see my face. Now with Moses, there is the type. I know that. We've looked at that in this class. Moses does go up, speaks to the Lord face to face as a man speaks with his friend, because he is a type of Christ. But Moses was also a man. That's what James says. I think he was talking of Elijah. You know, Elijah, he wasn't different than any one of us. He was just a guy. The prophets, they were no different than us. Okay? The issue of the heart. The heart. All I want to do is see your face. Speaking pre-cross, speaking a reality that he saw from afar, speaking a reality that knew someday would come in the person of Christ. All I want is to see, what he says is, see your glory. The Lord says, no man can see my face. Okay? Take it up to speed. All right? Now, natural timeline. Now we have Jesus of Nazareth walking, you know, with everybody. Here he is, the glory of God, walking in the midst of everyone else. Comes up to this one guy, a blind guy. What would you have me do for you? What would you have me do? Here's the Lord. He could very well have said, I am God Almighty. What do you want? What would you like? What is your heart's desire? I can do all things. I've created this realm. I've created everything here. I've created man. What do you want? And his response is this: Lord, that I may receive my sight. The heart, listen, Lord, that I may receive my sight. It's an issue of the heart. It's always an issue of the heart. True repentance is when the heart turns unto the Lord. Not when the person stops doing actions. No, it's when the heart turns to the Lord. True repentance. So we have the great question. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. Verse 6. And Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth. I didn't look at that term before, but I would say that that term before is before the face, if I were to look it up. I would almost bet money on it that's what it means. Thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, because of the reason that he walked before thy face in truth. He walked before thy face in truth. He walked before thy face. The same thing, before thy presence, before thee. In truth. There it is. In truth. Not, listen, with our diagram, not in the lie, not in the illusion, not in the imagination of his own heart. No. In truth. In truth. Where truth is found in the person of Christ. Where there is light, the truth is known to be present. Where there is darkness, ignorance, the truth is not known to be present. The truth being Christ himself. Okay. Thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. In truth and in righteousness and in uprightness. Listen to this. He walked in truth. He walked in righteousness. It is of God, you in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom of God. Righteousness of God. All found in the person of Christ. And in uprightness of heart with thee. Upright heart. There you go. All right. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made... This would never come out of the mouth of Saul when he spoke to Samuel. No, the Lord, thy God, Samuel. The Lord, thy God, Samuel. See, but it did come out of the mouth of David. The Lord, my God. The Lord, my God. The Lord said unto my Lord. Do you see? It's an issue of the heart. Everything's happening in the heart. And now, O Lord, my God. O Lord, my God. Thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Here's what he asks for. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. An understanding heart. Understanding is only found in light. Light is only found when the heart turns to the Lord and the veil is removed. That's the order. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. An understanding heart. See, he's king. He has to make judgments. He's king. He has to make judgments for the people of God. Give thy servant. That's going to play big. Thy servant. See, Solomon at that time is king. What's he doing? He's acknowledging, no, give thy servant. O Lord, my God, who are my king, give thy servant. Complete different issue going on here with the heart. Okay? Solomon isn't acknowledging before the Lord. Listen, Solomon is not acknowledging before the Lord his kingship. No, he is acknowledging the Lord's kingship. Give thy servant. And now, O Lord, my God, my God, give therefore thy servant. He knows who the true king is. An understanding heart to judge thy people. An understanding heart. As I stated, understanding is found in light. An understanding heart. A heart that has understanding. Listen to this. Listen to it this way. A heart that abides in understanding. A heart that abides in light. Therefore, you can execute judgment, righteous judgment. Remember how I stated earlier? If we judge by what we see after the natural eye or understand with the natural brain, it is an unrighteous judgment. And Jesus said, I judge no man according to the flesh. And yet he had a judgment, and his judgment was true. His judgment was righteousness, was righteous, because he had before him the face of his Father. Therefore, the judgment was just. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. The term bad, you can just throw evil in there because that's what it is, between good and evil. That I may discern between good and evil. You look up the Strong's term for, here it is. And give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. The term understanding, the Strong's number 8085, the exact word we've been looking at. 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in an understanding the voice of the Lord? It's the same word. You can throw the same English terms in there. Give therefore thy servant, listen to this, an obedient heart. Right? Because it's the term is used, is written in English as obeying, obey in 1 Samuel 15:22. It's understanding, it's the same thing. To obey, to have, to hear, have the power to hear, listen, obey. Give therefore thy servant an obedient heart. Don't you love that? He knew this much. Give thy servant an obedient heart, that from here in light, as my heart is turned unto you, being obedient unto you, being obedient unto your voice, obedient unto your appearing, for the Lord appeared to Solomon, as my heart is continuing in obedience, I may be able to judge your people in light, in righteousness, and not after the flesh. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. But see, to judge thy people. He knew he was in a position where he had to make judgments. Excuse me. He was king. Excuse me. He was a ruler. He knew. The Lord had placed him in that position, if you will, where he had to make judgments, where he had to make decisions, where he had to lead the people of God. Okay? So what does he ask for? An obedient heart. I just want an obedient heart. I just want my heart to be obedient. I just want my heart to be obedient unto thy voice. I just want my heart to be obedient unto thy appearing. Out from that, I will judge thy people. Out from that, I will discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? He's saying, apart from an obedient heart, apart from the heart turning unto the Lord, it can't be done. If it involves God in any way, God's people, apart from an obedient heart, it can't be done. We will either learn this the only way we'll learn it is as the Lord, as we continue in the appearing of the Lord. That's it. That's the only way we will learn this. It's the only way we'll know this. Because we can't know it up here with our mind. We can't understand it up here with our mind and try to apply it and make it work, you know, like a little jigsaw puzzle. Okay, now I see the big picture now. I see how it works. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Because we cannot apply the things of God to the things of the natural. We can't try to make it work. You either your heart is turned unto the Lord, and then there is light in what you do, there is wisdom in what you do, there is understanding in what you do, there is obedience in what you do, or your heart is turned from the Lord, and then it doesn't matter what you do or don't do. It's out of darkness, disobedience, ignorance, vanity. Right, so going on. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. Then he says this, so that I may discern between good and bad. Good and evil, okay? I looked up that term, good. Excuse me, it's Strong's number 2896. And I know that we've looked at this passage over and over again, and I said, this is what this term means. This is what this word means. So, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God, verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between light. If it's not light, then it's darkness. That I may discern between good and bad. Light is good. Darkness, ignorance, is bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? There's also the passage, I'll just kind of quote it as Proverbs 19:2. We've also looked at this passage. It says, for the soul to be without knowledge is not. This is a Wheeler diagram. For the soul to be without knowledge, no knowledge but ignorant, is not good. Same exact word. Strong's number 2896. Same exact word. I've got another proverb, and I want to go ahead and read it because I think this one's dealing with the Lord Himself. I just kind of did a Strong's number search on these verses. This is Strong's number 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Beholding the evil and the good. If your eye is single, listen to this, it is full of light. But if your eye is evil, it's full of darkness. And please understand, I am speaking according to those who are born again. If you are born again, you are not full of darkness. You may be full of ignorance, but you are not full of darkness. Okay? Why? Because Christ is present in the soul. See? When the heart turns to the Lord, this veil of ignorance, of imagination, of our illusion, is taken away. Is done away. And then there is light. The light is known to be present. Please listen to the way I said that. The light is known to be present because Christ Himself is known to be present. If you are born again, Christ is in you. The question is, do you know that? Do you know where He is? We cannot know except we see. When He who is our life shall appear, then we shall also appear with Him in glory. I in you, you in me. But it's all dependent upon when He who is our life shall appear. Excuse me. All right. So going on. So that was Solomon. The one thing Solomon desired, an understanding, an obedient heart. An obedient heart. That's a great prayer. That is a prayer the Lord will answer. Because that is a prayer, listen to this, that is a prayer unto purpose. That is a prayer of purpose. That is a prayer that continues in purpose. Right? Alright. Going on with our notes. I want us to look at Genesis chapter 22. In the passage of Genesis chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10. And the context of this is the offering up of Isaac. This is the context of the passage. Okay? And the reason why I was looking at these passages is because of the Strong's number I did a search on. Remember Strong's number 8085, which means to hear, listen to, obey, to have, to hear, have power to hear, to yield to obey, be obedient, understand. That's the exact same term. It's found in this passage right here. It's found with, listen to this, Abraham's obeying the Lord. The obedience of Abraham. All right. So the context is the offering up of Isaac. This is Genesis 22, verse 1. And I'll just read a couple of verses out of this passage. And it came to pass after these things that God... Oh, and before this, this is Genesis chapter 22, okay? Excuse me. I think I may have said chapter 21, but it's chapter 22. But see, the Lord appeared to Abraham. This is chapter 22. Abraham continues in the appearing of the Lord. Abraham continues in purpose. Remember, Abraham is called the father of faith. Faith is seen. Raven and I were talking about this. Faith is seen what cannot be seen with the natural eye. Faith is seen substance, Christ. Abraham continues in purpose. Abraham, if you will, Abraham's heart continues to turn unto the voice. Abraham's heart continues to turn to behold the heavenly vision. Just like John, who heard the voice, turned to see the voice. Just like Paul, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. No, I continued in the heavenly vision. Okay? In Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, it said the Lord appeared to Abraham. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, the Lord appeared to Abraham. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, and the Lord appeared to Abraham. Now we're at Genesis chapter 22. See, this is not, please listen, this is not a one-time appearing of the Lord. This is not a one-time revealing of Christ. The term I use is the appearing of the Lord. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of the Son, the revelation of the Son. Okay? It's not a one-time thing. Remember, in a previous class, we talked about just being born again. Well, there's an appearing of the Lord. Why? Life appears where there was no life before. The Lord hath appeared. Okay? The Lord appears, that we looked at the type, the shadow, while the children of Israel were in Egypt. The Lord appears as Moses, as the deliverer. The Lord appears as the lamb that is slain. The Lord appears as the door with the blood where they have to come into the house. In the house there is light. The Lord appears as the light. Okay, it continues. It continues. They go into the burial. The Lord appears as the burial. Why? Because Egypt, the dead does not come out of the burial. They're in type now in resurrection. The Lord appears as the manna. The Lord appears as the rod that budded. The Lord appears as the water that gushed out of the rock. The Lord appears as the snake upon the pole. And with that example of the snake upon the pole, all those who received that appearing of the Lord were healed. They were to receive the appearing of the Lord, okay? Abraham continues in the appearing of the Lord. And as we continue in the appearing of the Lord, in the revelation of Jesus Christ, okay? As we continue, this is what Jesus told Saul at the time. I'm going to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter, because there is to be a seeing of me, an appearing of me hereafter. Now, will you continue in purpose? Yes or no? Okay, Abraham continued in purpose. Abraham's heart continued to turn to the Lord. As our heart, listen to this, continues to turn to the unto the Lord. The Lord will appear, and he will appear, listen to this, as a judgment to everything that is not truth. He will appear as a judgment to our illusions. He will appear as a judgment to our imaginations. He will appear as a judgment to our vanities. Why? Because, listen, in reality, these do not exist in Christ. They exist in the vain imagination of our heart. What is true in reality now must be true in our heart. What is true, established of God in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in the cross, now must be established where? In our hearts. In our heart. That what? That we may walk in the light as he is in the light. That we may walk in truth. As we continue turning our hearts unto the Lord, he will appear. And in every appearing, it will be a judgment to anything of vanity, of our vain imagination, that we still hold on to, that we still cleave to, that we still raise from what the Lord hath put away, from what we still hold on to in our vain imaginations. He appears as a judgment to that. For judgment, I am come into the world, that those who see may be made blind, and those who are blind may see. When he appears as a judgment. The question is, where is our heart? Is our heart to all those who love his appearing? Is our heart loving his appearing at that moment? Or is our heart turned from the Lord? Then it is as death unto us. As, it is not death unto us, it is as death unto us. Unto what? Unto what we consider our life. Unto what we, our illusion is, our concept of our life, having turned from him who is our life. All right, so Abraham is continuing in the appearing of the Lord. And it continues. Just like the question that the Lord that the Lord presented to Solomon. What do you want? Basically, the Lord could have said, I am God Almighty. What would you like? Jesus himself comes to the blind man. What would you have me do for you? What do you want? What's in your heart? What do you want? I can provide all things. I can do all things. What do you want? With man it's impossible. It's not impossible with me. What would you like? Okay. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. He tested. He proved Abraham. The situation, and I don't know if I can do it this way or not. The situation was that the Lord had promised Abraham a son, Isaac. Why? Because Abraham was something. No. Because it was a testimony of Christ. The only begotten of the Father. Because it was for testimony. Abraham just yielded to the testimony. He yielded to the purpose of God in his generation. He yielded to the appearing of the Lord. Okay? So therefore, he can be a part of what the Lord's doing. Alright? But even in, listen to this, even in what the Lord gives, even in that which the Lord gives that can be seen outwardly, that can be touched, that can be felt, what is greater? The things or the Lord himself? Which is the greater gift? The greater gift in our heart? Listen, it's in our heart. It's an issue of the heart. Because you're born again, the Lord is dealing with Abraham. Hey, Abraham, he's right here. He's not among the dead. Okay, Abraham is not among the dead. He was called out of the Chaldees. Okay. What is the greater gift? That which is tangible, outward, found in time, that can be defined in time? Or is the greater gift that which is eternal, that cannot be seen with the natural, that cannot be heard, that cannot be understood with the natural brain? Our class is ministry in the appearing of Christ. You could say, well, God gave me a ministry. Okay, great. What's greater? The ministry or His face? The ministry or His Son? What is greater, the work or the substance? What is the purpose, the ministry or the person? As we continue in the appearing of Christ, as we continue in purpose, the Lord will tempt, no, the Lord will test, He'll prove. He'll see where our hearts are. What is your desire? What do you want? What do you want? You can have what you want. I will let you have what you want. Okay. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Verse 2, and he said, take now. Just to kind of see where Abraham's heart is. You know, take now thy son, thine only Isaac, whom thou lovest. Take, listen to this, take that which you love, that which you consider of value, that which you consider of being of God and for God. Take that. Get thee to the land of Moriah and offer him up there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And offer him. Okay? Take now that which you love, lest that become part of an illusion. Lest that become an illusion in our own heart. Now take it. Okay? That which thou love. And it goes on. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Don't you love that? That's the truth. We talked about it with the children of Israel that said they rose up in the morning and went to try to take the land. No, they went in disobedience. And would to God that they had risen up in the morning. Here Abraham rose up early in the morning. Rose up early in the morning. I love that. And saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place in which God had told him. Rose up and went unto the place. Here he is. Rose up and went unto the place. See, it's not the places. I know here in the testimony the place was a tangible place. No. Went to the place. It has to take what is real, what is in reality established, must be established in our hearts. Our hearts. The place, the cross, the death, burial, resurrection must be established in our hearts. Why? That we may know who lives, who remains, lest we continue with our imagination thinking that we remain, thinking that we live. Paul put it this way, I am crucified with Christ at the very beginning. From the very beginning, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the vessel lives. Yet not I, the life of the vessel, but Christ who liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. He also said, the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto it. In the heart. And I am. See, the world is crucified unto me. That's reality. Okay? The The second part is the heart. And I, this reality is in my heart, and I am crucified unto it as well. And I am crucified unto it. Okay, so it goes on. And rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Verse 4. Then on the third day, I love it, the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Jesus spoke of Abraham saying this, Abraham saw my day and was glad and rejoiced in it. Well, yeah, it's afar off because, remember, here's Abraham in time, way before Jesus of Nazareth shows up on the scene. But yet, he's there as a testimony, okay? Verse 5, And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Here is found worship. Here is found true worship. Here is found in this understanding. Listen, not I, but Christ. Therein is found true worship. Listen, worship in spirit and in truth. And in truth. In spirit and in truth. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. There's the type of Christ bearing the Roman cross to be crucified. Goes on. Verse 9. And they came to the place of which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. They came to the place and Abraham built an altar. See, the altar was already there. The place is the altar. And Abraham built an altar there. Now the altar is built in his own heart. Now that which is real, that which is reality in the mind of God, becomes reality in his own heart. Okay? That which is done in reality must be established in our hearts. It's established in Abraham's heart. And Abraham built an altar there. Okay. It goes on. I think we've run out of time. I think I'm going to have to stop right here. And we'll have to pick up in our next class. It is the inward obedience of the heart. Give me a heart that is obedient. The Lord appears to Solomon. Listen, the Lord appears to Solomon by night. That's what it said. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night. By night. What would you have me do for you? What would you like? What do you want? Give me a heart that is obedient unto thy voice. Give me a heart that is obedient unto thy face, unto thy vision. What do you want, Moses? This one thing I ask, that I may see your glory. Jesus and the blind man, what would you that I would do for you? What would you have me do for you? That I receive my sight. Beautiful question. And the Lord will ask us that question time and time again as we continue in the appearing of Christ, as we continue in purpose. He will, time and time again. What do you want? What would you have me do? What would you like? What is your heart's desire? It's beautiful. And the response that Solomon gave was the most beautiful response. So we're going to just end this class just with that thought. May the Lord deal with our hearts by His Spirit. And may our heart come to the response. May our heart come to the eternal response that I may have an obedient heart. Amen. Obedient unto the voice, obedient unto the heavenly vision. Amen. Lord bless you all. We'll see you in our next class. Lord bless. Amen.